Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God, our Heavenly Father, and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is recorded in the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, verses 12 through 20. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our resurrected, ever-living Lord, dearly beloved of God, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. That is what our congregation's namesake, St. Paul, wrote in his letter to the Christians at Rome. As an apostle of the Lord Jesus, he considered it a very important part of his ministry work on behalf of the souls Jesus had entrusted to his care, to remind them about the nearness of the coming day of the Lord and to urge them to get ready for it. Paul didn't know, no one knows when it will be. Jesus once said, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels, only the Father in heaven." But something we all do know, and we can state with absolute certainty, is that every day that we live here on earth brings us one step closer to that very important day. And it's a pleasant thought for us as Christians. We long for that day when the Lord Jesus will deliver us from this valley of sorrows and bring us into His presence. And we pray that He would, in the meantime, be with us and strengthen us in our Christian faith. And that He would make that day come soon, sooner rather than later. And that's the thought that the Lord lays upon our hearts this morning for our prayerful contemplating as Ascension Day draws nearer. As I mentioned earlier, this Thursday on the church calendar, we want to make it our Ascension Day prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come to me daily in your word to refresh my faith with the water of life, and come for me on the last day to usher me into the holy city. The last couple Sundays, our sermons have been based upon Bible texts drawn from the beautiful Bible book of Revelation. Today's text is from the very last chapter of this book. It contains the very last words that the Holy Spirit inspired John to write while he was in exile on that island in the Mediterranean, Patmos, to which he had been banished for preaching about Jesus. The Holy Spirit led John in this last chapter to draw his readers' attention to the last things and to the second coming of Jesus. He emphasized that the hopes that these Christians had anchored in Jesus and his work in their behalf, in his sacrificial death on the cross, in his resurrection, and what the angels told those wandering disciples on Ascension Day, 40 days after Christ rose, the same Jesus taken up to heaven will come back the same way you saw him go, would happen and happen soon. In fact, two times in the text before us, and a total of three times in the whole 22nd chapter, we read the words of Jesus, "I am coming soon." Now, as we just mentioned, the exact day when this will happen along the timeline of world history is unknowable. Yeah, there have been people who have tried to make prognostications about this, some even claiming to have figured out the exact calendar year. Some years ago, while I was serving as pastor of our church in Bodle, South Dakota, I received a booklet in the mail titled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Could Be in 1988. In fact, I still have it. I kept it as a reminder example of Satan's chicanery and how he likes to fool people into accepting as true some of the most bogus ideas. That heretical teaching of the so-called rapture claims that there's going to be a time before the end when Jesus will come back to earth in a quiet manner and whisk all his believers up to heaven, leaving all the unbelievers behind. That, of course, is religious nonsense, because the Bible teaches that Jesus is going to only return once at the very end of the age. And when he returns, he's going to do it openly, accompanied by the sound of blaring trumpets and of all of his holy angels flanking him in an awesome display of divine power and glory. And that's when that final judgment will occur that we confess every Sunday in the Apostles' Creed, judging the living and the dead. The Lord will cast outside, as our text says, the dogs, that would be the unbelievers, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood, and then to receive his dearly beloved believers into heaven's eternal joy. So that's the true rapture that the Bible teaches about. And what should be our main concern, dear friends, during the in-between time? What should be the thing that we're giving our hearts main attention to through our days of pilgrimage, however many days and years the Lord gives to us here on earth? Well, whether we're at the beginning of our pilgrimage, whether we're younger Christians, little children, high schoolers, college age students, or middle age Christians, or elderly Christians, our text provides us with an important clue, in fact, more than a clue, an urgent appeal from Jesus as to what we are to be doing. He counsels us as Ascension Day believers to keep on praying fervently, "Come, Lord Jesus, come to me. Come to me daily in your word to refresh my soul with the precious water of life and the gospel. Use your word, dear Lord, that I study and read faithfully, that I ponder and meditate on, which tells me all about who you are and what you've done for me as my Savior to build and bolster me in faith and empower me to resist the temptations of the evil world against which I am powerless to ward off in my own strength. Come to me as the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star to enlighten my darkness and help me to live as your thankful child of light, a life of faithful service and worship of you, my Savior. Come to me as my good shepherd to lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, always close to your side. Come to me as my almighty king to protect me from the Machiavellian maneuverings, that is, the tricky schemes of the devil. And come to me when I sin. Come to me as my merciful redeemer to comfort my heart and to refresh me with your forgiving love as often as I fall short of your glory. And dear friends, we can be confident as Christians, you know this, you can be confident that Jesus, according to the riches of his mercy, will answer this prayer. He will enable us to keep on fixing our eyes on things above, not on earthly things, and to help us to live as those who understand that here we have no continuing city, but we're looking for the city that is to come. And in the meantime, all along the pathway of our life, filling our lives with his many blessings. And yeah, that other prayer that the Lord will also graciously answer for us is, come for me, Lord Jesus, on the last day to take me into the holy city, which is a picture for heaven. As I mentioned earlier, two times in this text, Jesus draws our attention to the coming glorious day, encouraging us to really long for that to happen and to live in eager anticipation of it happening and happening soon. The last verse, verse 20, Jesus says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. And in the very first verse of our text, behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. Now, a word of explanation might be in place here on that last phrase. It may seem a bit odd and strange to hear Jesus telling us that he's going to grant us access into the holy city, into heaven, as a reward, as something that he will bestow upon us according to what we have done. Salvation, as we all know from our study of Scripture, it's a clear teaching of the gospel. It's by grace alone, right? We're justified, that is, declared righteous, not guilty of our sin and guilt, by faith alone in Christ on the basis of what Jesus and he alone has done, right? Absolutely right. So John isn't teaching anything different here. When you stand before God on that coming day, he's going to view you just as he already does right now, as people who have Jesus' righteousness credited to your account by faith. And all that will be on your record will be Christ's holiness. But then also, and that's the point that is emphasized in our text, Jesus will also see the Holy Spirit worked fruits of faith that you have done for him as a thank you. Same thought is back in chapter 14 of Revelation, that Bible passage that's often quoted at Christian burial services. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Remember that verse? Their deeds will follow them. That's another verse that reveals that all the works that God's children do for Jesus in grateful love, they won't precede us into heaven or serve as the basis for our receiving the victory crown of life eternal, but They're going to follow us into heaven, serving as corroborating evidence that our faith in Jesus was real. And that's why Judgment Day will be for us as Christians Victory Day, not like for the children of the world, Doomsday. Another thing about this text I'd like to highlight for you is, if you would please notice that these special names that Jesus ascribes to himself in verse 13, where he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end." He's using these names to emphasize and reinforce for us and reassure us that the one who will descend on the clouds on that last day is our omnipotent God, who created everything in the beginning, who has in fact existed from eternity. He's the one who lived and died and rose from the dead and ascended up into heaven, who will also then come back to usher us in love into the holy city, heaven. By the way, if you'd like to read a description, a very beautiful symbolic picture of heaven, the holy city, read the previous chapter, maybe sometime this week, Revelation chapter 21, where it's very, very gorgeously described, and where we're going to see when we're in that heaven, when we're in heaven, that we have like 1,088 reasons and then some to adore and worship the Lord for all that he accomplished for us. May you also be reminded, dear friends, of these comforting gospel truths whenever you look at the stained glass window in the back left corner of the church sanctuary. On that window you see the Agnus Dei, or the Lamb of God symbol, which is a visual representation of Christ Jesus, the sinless Son of God, who gave up his life of holiness on Calvary's cross for our sins. And that cross is seen resting upon the Lamb's shoulder and held in its right foreleg to remind us that we have been redeemed for a life of glory with him, our gracious God. And he is shown there also. He's depicted as bleeding from the area of the heart. Obviously, that's a picture of the gospel truth that it is Jesus' holy blood that has purified us from all of our sins. He's the one whom we're going to behold on the world's final day, and when our Ascension Day prayer will be answered in all its marvelous fullness, and as never before. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.